There's much happening in the world of cricket. We know that Rodney Malcolm Hogg is our go-to man. KB loves him in the morning. I love him anytime. So for the Lobster Cave North Concourse in Beaumaris, call 9589-6329 or head straight to the website, lobstercave.com.au. Here is the man that may have, in his day, earned a red card in cricket. What a crazy idea. They're thinking of bringing red cards in cricket. And Rodney Malcolm, would they have ever shown you the red?
You've got me laughing. I'm still trying to. I can see a rhinoceros hanging around a haystack. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Red cards might have just pushed the boundary a little bit, but the way the umpires are in control of the game now, I don't know who thought that idea up. It's just a waste of time. I thought most cricketers seem to be pretty well controlled these days. You might need a red card out in the parks, but you certainly don't need a red card at the international scene. So if they haven't got much to do, those boys, well, they better think of something else to do besides thinking up ideas of red cards.
Yeah, there are match fee, there are match fines, and, of course, the facility to suspend players post-game, maybe not during game. As you said, in park cricket, things can get a little bit fruity and heated, so that might require more immediate action. But I would have thought at international level and even at state level, cooler heads can prevail, and don't think we've had fisticuffs. The closest we came to was DK and Jarvid, wasn't it?
Yeah. Have you seen one incident that would even justify even thinking about a red card? I have not seen one incident. The umpires are in total control. It's the respect of the umpires has been earned. We didn't respect them that much when I was playing, but it's been earned now. And I just can't understand why that idea would be thought up. But that day with Jarvid, Jarvid might have been given a red card, swinging the bat at Dennis, and Dennis having a little poke with his foot.
Yellow cards.
Yellow cards. Well, that's just sent halfway off the ground. Is it all?
That's right. A warning.
Where do you go with a yellow card? I don't know. You've got to get two yellows for a red, do you?
How about Colin Croft clipping the umpire in New Zealand?
Good one. Your memories are beauty. Yeah, Crofty, there's the red card. But the umpire is too probably. It would have had to come from the other umpire.
Yeah.
The umpire he got was rubbing his head, wasn't he? He wasn't going to be pulling a red card out.
He didn't see him, so it would have had to be the square leg. That would have taken a fair bit of. That would have taken some balls, I tell you what.
Well, with Crofty over you, 6'6", and looking as mean as Crofty, and he's just whacked in the back of the head. I don't think you're pulling out a red card there in his face. He might give you another couple.
Maybe too late, but at least at last we've got some common sense on the size of cricket bats, and we're talking about the edge of a cricket bat. I can't believe a 40-millimetre maximum for the edge of a cricket bat. It's still a pretty heavy, not heavy, that's the beauty of it. It's a hefty piece of willow that they wield that's not that heavy.
Is that for all cricket or is that just for test cricket and first class or does that include the T20s as well?
I believe that's all cricket bats, cricket bat manufacturer.
Look, I don't care what they use in a T20 game. Obviously, I think test cricket's we're trying to compare the past a little bit, and I think the bats have got out of control. And where was it going to stop? Were they just going to keep getting thicker and thicker? I don't know. Is it thickness or width or what? Which one?
Well, they've got a...
I'll go thickness.
Yeah, it's thickness, and then there's two measurements, but the two measurements are 40 millimetres for the edge and 67 millimetres for the depth. Now, David Warner uses a bat that has a depth of 85 mils and a thickness of 50 mils. So he needs to come back a long way to be within the new parameters that they are aiming. Of course, aiming and getting is a world apart sometimes in cricket, but it would mean that David Warner would use a far different bat.
Well, I can see him out in the garage with his Stanley plane, shaving them down. He's got a bit of work to do there. Look, we've seen overnight Paul Rifle got hit in the back of the head. I don't know exactly how that happened. The ball, how far does the public want to see the ball travel into the... do they want to go see it right out of the ground every time or 50 rows back or 10 rows or 20? I don't know, but there's a bit of danger out in the ground now, especially I would have thought for the bowler. The non-striking batsman, the umpire, with the ball's coming back, and obviously, as I said, the ball, how far do you want it to go out of the ground? I think the bowler, I remember bowling to Viv, and you sort of had a little bit of reaction. When you bowled to Viv, and we spoke about yesterday about Viv being a bit close to the modern-day batsman, and you sort of had that little one where you bowl a ball and then your hand is sort of just a protective cautionary situation where you just sort of bring your hand up in front of your face just in case Viv decided to launch one straight back at you. So the ball would go mid-off or wherever, but this ball now that's coming back and you've got the bowl and everybody's hitting them back. So how hard, and it's only a matter of time until a bowler cops one in the face, and we see umpires now using helmets, so that's protecting them, which you've got to do because, you know, the umpire's a little bit older and his reflexes aren't quite as good as the modern day cricketer, you wouldn't hope.
There's nothing worse than, I like the bowler that has a caught and bowled hit to him, straight back at him and puts his hands out, the last minute thinks, no, that's coming back a bit quick, and sells the old umpire down the river, gives him no chance whatsoever. That's the meanest thing a player can do. But, I mean, the danger of the ball being hit back to the bowler is real, and that's why in baseball, whilst at college level they can use aluminium bats, because they're more powerful and can hit the ball at greater velocity than wooden bats, it's why Major League Baseball only allows these basically unmodified, definitely uncorked, which is how you make a bat more powerful. That's the biggest no-no in baseball. But they've had no development in bat technology because to do so would put the pitchers at great peril.
Well, we've had a couple of pitchers, or they've had a couple of pitchers badly hurt. It's interesting how you see the batters still aren't using a full helmet that protects the front of their face. They've got the one that comes down the side, obviously, but they're still not going. So learn from baseball and get ahead of the time. So it's a good decision by the ICC. I wonder how many people will be going. I'm looking out the window, pretty ordinary sort of a day. New Zealand 2-0 down. I wonder how many people will be going to the MCG today. I'd say today would be an administrator's nightmare, wouldn't it, with trying to get bums on seats at the MCG today in this terrible day that in Melbourne's turned on.
I reckon every degree costs them 1,000 people. If it was 25 today, they would have got 25,000, but with a top of only 17, I think that might just about be the figure.
Yeah, well, luckily the game's not played at night because it was about, 7 or 8 degrees last night, so we just get to 7 or 8,000. So disappointing, but that's Melbourne for you, and obviously there's been a lot of talk. I think there's been a lot of talk about, don't play international T20s But I sort of think the public want the T20s, don't they, more so than the one-day internationals. So I'm thinking along the lines that the one-day internationals should be for World Cups and the T20s can keep going because that's what the public want. But some scribes are arguing that they should cancel international T20s.
I'm really pleased to see that Darren Lehman and the Australian selectors are not resting Hazelwood and Stark. I'd love your take. The injuries suffered by our bowlers don't seem to be from overuse. In fact, there's a school to be said that they're not. When they're underused, they're more likely to suffer injuries because they're just not putting the requisite amount of overs and time in. But these boys are bowling and they're fit.
Well, in a sense, I didn't mind Starkey getting rested for that South African 5-1 days because he'd had a real big workload in Sri Lanka, and it wasn't that much longer that we went to South Africa. And then you've got this summer, and what have we got? 3-6 test matches, then another 4 in India. So you've got 10 test matches at least, I think, in not a great deal of time. So they've got to protect Stark a little bit. So at times I want to see him rested. Today would be, we're 2-0 up. Why wouldn't you rest Stark today? I mean,
they're going to play him, I think.
Well, that would be the perfect day. This would be a good day. I know they've got a squad, but really, if you wanted to try them with the fact that there's no real input in this game because they're 2-0 down, this would be a good day to certainly play Maxwell, bring Hanscom in. I know this sounds silly, but just get some Victorians, and that would be the only way you would probably get bums on seats at the MCG is to actually physically play Victorians. And I will be so disappointed if Maxwell doesn't play today. And certainly, and people say, in whose place? Well, George Bailey's 34 years of age. He's not going to play a significant role in the World Cup that's in 2 years' time, so I don't understand why he's in the side and taking up Maxwell's spot. So Maxwell has to play, and at least I'm happy to keep the TV on when Maxwell bowls, but the TV will go off if it comes on.
One last one. The Pakistanis had a look at the pink ball last night. Didn't bat too well, but with the Australian up-and-coming 11, 4-for-3 at stumps, so I think they don't mind bowling with an Amir. Took 3 wickets. 4-for-3.
I hope they said their prayers last night, Gregory Stevens. What is it, the under-14s or whatever they are? yeah, you're right. About it's a little bit of a concern. Mohammed Amir is probably someone to put a couple of bucks on next week in Brisbane because the pink ball will swing around, and obviously a night game. So Mohammed Amir is a beauty at swinging the ball. So he's one that you'd be sort. But really, at the end of the day, they haven't had too much to do with the pink ball of Pakistanis and a night pink game. They haven't played it. This is not enough preparation really for them. So you would think that Australia would be odds on to win very comfortably next week because they just haven't seen the pink ball. So you would have thought we'd dominate them with the ball. But hopefully Mohammed Amir can fight back a little bit for them and their other swing bowlers as well.
Time will tell. Oggy, stay well. We'll catch up next week.
I hope Stephen J. Peake's okay.